In this episode of the Exploring Information Security Podcast, the gap in SCADA and ICS security.
Computers now have primary control of critical functions.
Houston, recommend a vector transfer.
Your go for APU shutdown on time.
Roger, go for deploy.
Nice to be in orbit.
Welcome to the Exploring Information Security Podcast, where you will learn, explore, and grow your security mindset. I am your host, Timothy D. Block, and in this episode, we will be exploring SCADA and ICS security. With me to do that is Joe Weiss, Managing Partner at Applied Control Solutions. Show notes can be found at explorsec.com/EIS. You can support the podcast by donating. Hit that donate button on the podcast page. You can sign up for the newsletter, which is under every single blog post I put out. Well, mostly. It's at least on every podcast I put out, so you can find it. Feedback for the show, timothy.dblock@explorsec.com. Hit me up on LinkedIn. Rate the podcast on your favorite podcast platform. If it's not on your favorite podcast platform, let me know. So this was another interesting one. This is Joe Weiss has been around in the field for a while, and actually we started out talking about how he actually wishes he hadn't coined the term ICS, industrial control systems, because it's more about control systems just in general. And so he's on this kick to talk about a lot of the different control systems are out there, not just within the industrial space. This is medical devices. This is all over. And as you hear, he talks about that gap, right, and what we can do. And it's pretty typical, for a lot of the different stuff already going on within security. It's the getting security buy-in and really having leaders at the top drive it. And so I really like this perspective because he talked about the gap there, right? There's a focus on control systems within the network space, but not actually on the device security. So the control systems are just allowed to be put on networks without any sort of security in general. So, this is almost like a defense in depth, or it's kind of like what we talk about too, which is like a hard outside shell, but a gooey inside center, like an M&M. I think this is a really good one. He makes a lot of really great points, and we talk about a little bit of everything here. So with that, let's get into it.
Okay, first of all, the term SCADA stands for Supervisory Control and Data Acquisition. It is one and only one type of control system. There are a bunch of other types. ICS stands for Industrial Control System. I helped coin that term. What happens is the whole world of quote-unquote control systems, of which ICS and SCADA are part of, is the monitoring and controlling of physical processes. And that includes our own body. In other words, it's the measuring of pressure and level and flow and temperature or voltage and current, and then doing something about it. In other words, is my temperature too high? Well, if so, I need to, reduce the speed of my motor. Is the level too low? Well, if so, I need to open a valve and put more water in. It's things like that. So what we're talking about are things that have direct impact on our physical environment, or in a way, physics. And if they're impacted, real things happen, like things blow up, or things crash, or, things like this. This is not network. This is our physical infrastructure. SCADA is, like I say, one form of control system. It's normally used in places like electric transmission distribution, where you have these long wires, or it's used in railroads. It's used in water systems. It's where you have dispersed assets that are geographically dispersed. They're not all centralized. Now, SCADA, like I say, is not every control system, but that's become the term of endearment, but it's like going to an IT conference and wanting to call everything a PC and having people there from Apple wanting to know, what do you mean a Mac isn't a PC? Mm-hmm. Well, not every control system is SCADA, only that's what people keep throwing the term out, which also tells you, in general, they don't understand what it is they're really talking about. Okay. I'm an engineer that got into security. Unfortunately, most people that have gotten into security have gotten in via IT or some form of networking or some type of physical security, but they haven't come through the engineering side to know how a motor works, how a pump works, for that matter, what a power plant is supposed to do, how a water system works. If you don't do that, how in the world can you, you know, secure it without being potentially as damaging as the hacker who wants to hack it?
Mm-hmm.
Very different view.
Yeah. So is there a better term for than SCADA?
Yes, control systems. And not even control industrial, because I regret having helped come up with that term. And the reason being, again, I'm a nuclear engineer.
Okay.
That got into security. You know, so I came, if you will, originally from the electric industry. When we started the International Standard on Control System Cybersecurity, The people that were involved were, quote unquote, from smokestack industry. They were electric. They were refineries, chemicals, steel, etc. And so we came up with the term industrial. But control systems are more than just industrial. That's why I wished I never put that I in front of it.
Yeah, because, just had a control system.
Yeah, because, for example, medical doesn't think this applies to them because they're going, well, I'm not industrial.
Mm-hmm.
You know, DOD says, well, this doesn't apply to me. You know, I can keep on going. Some manufacturing, you know, says, but I'm not industrial.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, a sensor that's measuring pressure or level or flow or temperature doesn't need to be connected to a smokestack. It's right. Everywhere. I mean, think of going to the doctor. What's the first thing they do? They take your temperature.
Mm-hmm.
What's the next thing they do? They take your blood pressure.
Yep.
Well, there's no difference other than instead of dealing with people, in the sense you're dealing with equipment.
So are there not a lot of people coming up from the more electrical or, you know,
very few
engineering? Very few.
Yeah.
Are you seeing just a lot of people trying to pivot then from the more IT
yes.
side?
Yes.
Okay.
And here's what happened. And like I say, I was part of all of this from the beginning. But initially you had the IT world, which was worried about, you know, business systems and networks. You had the engineers that were worried about the pumps and the valves and relays and things like that. Okay. And networks were a necessary part of the thing. And if they didn't know what they were doing, they would go call IT and say, hey, can you help me put up a firewall or can you help me, you know, with this network? But what, in a funny sense, what changed and has made everything so bad is Gartner coming up with a term OT, operational technology. Gartner came up with a term because they didn't know what a control system was.
Mm-hmm.
So they basically said, well, if you're not IT, you're OT. Well, here's the problem. What that did is it opened the door for all of these IT types, because in the control system world, you have, like I say, pumps and valves, motors, and all the rest of this stuff. And you do have networks, and the networks eventually become Ethernet networks, you know, Internet Protocol networks, and it goes to a Windows display. Well, the IT world goes, I know what Windows displays are, and I know what Internet Protocol networks are. And all of a sudden, they're there as experts, especially using the term SCADA. Well, part of the problem was engineers feel that cyber is email. And they're going, what do I care about email for?
Mm-hmm.
The security people think it's Internet networks. What do I care about this, you know, motor or big electric transformer or whatever? And so they ignore that part of it. And so you have these two disciplines, and it starts in college, because if you want to go into cybersecurity, you're going through computer science. And there are very, 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 very few universities, colleges, junior colleges, anything that require anybody who's taking computer science to take an introductory course in engineering. Mm-hmm. Conversely, those people going into engineering disciplines, electrical engineering, mechanical engineering, chemical engineering, nuclear engineering, aerospace engineering, generally do not have a requirement to have to take an introductory course in cybersecurity. So guess what? These two, if you will, disciplines don't talk to each other, don't like each other, and don't know what each other is doing. Mm-hmm. Gee, is it any surprise that we are where we are today? Now, that's on the defender side, the cyber defender. The offensive cyber realize, hey, I've got a great way in where I can cause physical damage. So where the defenders blithely ignore all of this, the offensive types say, I've got a place to go in and nobody's even looking for me. Mm-hmm. That's where we are today at a high level.
So how do we close that gap then?
Good question. I've been trying for over 25 years. I helped start the control system cybersecurity program for the electric utilities in 2000. And when we started it, we thought, hey, we'll use donut diplomacy. In other words, we'll have the engineers go, have donuts and coffee with the IT people or vice versa. And we thought, how big a social problem can this be to get the engineers and the network people to talk to each other? It turns out it is an ungodly difficult problem. And one of the disciplines you never see in here is sociology. How do you get people to talk to each other? Mm-hmm. And like I say, go look at almost everything you read that deals with OT, and you will almost never see anything that actually deals with the actual equipment or what you could really do to it. And if you were to read any engineering articles, it's all about how to make things work more efficiently or more safely. You don't hear anything about it being more secure. So you have these two totally different, entities. And by the way, that also applies directly to the government. Mm-hmm. Pretty much everything you see coming out of CISA has nothing to do with the actual control system devices or the lower level networks that are used, serial and point to point. That's where everything starts. CISA and everything they do start with the Ethernet packet. In other words, might as well be calling everything IT. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. So you're saying they're more focused like on the network side of things, and what you're talking about is the actual, I guess, devices themselves?
Yeah, the devices and the lower level networks. It's like, do you have a sprinkler system at home?
Yes.
Okay. You've got little valves there, you got little solenoids and all kinds of stuff. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, if you're gonna have a leak or if the sprinkler system doesn't turn on properly, you're gonna knock the work. Well, you'll check to make sure it's plugged in, electrically if you got an electric sprinkler system. But what you really need to do is make sure that the valves are open and working and that there aren't leaks. Well, that's, if you will, the parallel here. What we're doing is only looking at the networks. We don't care if there's leaks in the sprinkler line or if the solenoid, in other words, the electrical operation that would open the sprinkler valve, is working.
Gotcha. So are you saying the attackers are like sabotaging the actual control systems themselves?
Yeah. Have you ever heard of Stuxnet?
Yes.
That's what it did. It was not. I say that three times. I could say a lot more than three. It was not a network attack. It was an attack to damage physical equipment. The IT world has gone nuts because there were 0 days involved. Well, the 0 days was simply to get, quote unquote, the warhead to where it needed to go. The attack was on the controllers and the sensors. It was not on the IT system. You know, you had the Russians trying to blow up one of the largest petrochemical plants in the world in Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what were they going after? The safety system. The Chinese have hardware backdoors in our hardware system. Iran was just cyber attacking controllers in our U.S. infrastructure here. Why aren't you hearing about this stuff? Rhetorical question.
Right. Yep. Where is the security then? Is it the manufacturers, or is there like an update, or is there something that can be done to harden these control systems instead of focusing on the network side of things?
The answer is should be, but no. And again, here's what happened. This is historically where we are and why. Prior to 9/11, the engineering world owned everything about what they had. So if you made a turbine or transformer or a, you know, robots weren't really that, you know, popular at the time, but in other words, some physical thing. The people that made and operated that physical thing were responsible for everything, including cyber. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, following 9/11, I don't have a date, don't have a document. Cyber was made national security. And when that happened, cyber was yanked away from every engineering organization everywhere, government, vendors, end users, everywhere. It was yanked away and given to IT. You know, Gartner hadn't come up with the OT term yet, okay? And when that happened, not only was the responsibility given to the IT organization, but the IT organization's charter was internet protocol networks and internet protocol native devices. So, you know, routers, switches, firewalls, that was all, you know, within IT's charter. Well, what happened was the sensors and the pumps and the valves, but, you know, I'll stay with the sensors for a while. This is, again, where you measure pressure, level, flow, temperature. It's like your thermometer, okay? Well, what happened was that is not a native IT device, which meant when cyber was yanked away, none of those devices, the people responsible for designing and building those devices, we're no longer involved in cybersecurity, period. So here we are in 2024, still building devices that have no cybersecurity, no authentication, and no cyber forensics to this day.
Yeah, that actually sounds a lot like the healthcare industry, which I've been in for several years at this point.
Yeah, so here's the point, and it was also interesting about 3-4 years ago, there was a medical device cybersecurity conference in San Francisco. So I was invited and I gave a presentation. The first thing that was interesting about it, this was a medical device cybersecurity conference. There was not, aside from myself, there was not one single engineer there.
Mm-hmm.
Not one.
Not even a developer? Were developers
not
there?
One.
Wow.
All 100% network people, okay? Not one engineer. Now, by the way, that's not just healthcare. That's electric, water, oil, gas, chemicals. I can keep on going, okay?
Yeah.
The point being, healthcare is no better, no worse than anything else. Its focus 100% is on the IT side.
Mm-hmm.
The equipment that makes, you know, your devices, the equipment that basically produces your drugs, I could keep on going.
Mm-hmm.
There's no cybersecurity there.
Yep. Where yeah, I was.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, like, I've talked to developers who were working on like building a medical device, right? They were writing the software, and to your point, the reason why they weren't putting security in is because there was no direction from their leadership. Leadership is, to your point, just like putting it out. So
yeah, I mean, absolutely. Where you do have cybersecurity and healthcare is HIPAA. You know, you have it. In other words, it's on the IT network information side. You know, and that's also why, you know, well, let me bring it back a step. Because we have no cyber forensic at the engineering layer, you never really hear about cyber events that affect control system. You hear about cyber events that affect healthcare or water or whatever. Why? Because ransomware got in.
Mm-hmm.
Ransomware doesn't affect a piece of equipment. Ransomware is just your IT networks. That IT network just happens to be, you know, with healthcare. In other words, you know, the focus is, again, these are not the people who are trying to bring our, you know, our economy to its knees. Those people are going after equipment to turn off things like electric or water or gas, whatever, or impact the manufacturing. That's not ransomware. You know, the Colonial Pipeline is an interesting example.
Yeah.
But not because of what you think.
Right.
What happened was there was ransomware. The pipeline shut down. The pipeline didn't shut down because of the ransomware. The pipeline was shut down because they no longer knew what liquid was on what part of that pipeline.
Oh, okay. Wow.
How would you like to be in Newark Airport and you're looking out and you see this Colonial tank farm and you're on the airplane and you're going, geez, I really hope that's jet fuel in there and not kerosene.
Right. Yep.
That's why that pipeline was shut down. They no longer knew what was in the pipeline.
Right.
But that's not what you hear.
Yep. So I guess what's the fix then for security within control systems?
Number one, it's educating senior management. Now, whether it's in the government or what's in industry, it doesn't matter. It's senior management. They have to understand that they're at risk, and it isn't just because of the networks. Their equipment is at risk. Our grids are at risk. We could be losing power, not for hours or days, for months. And I'm not trying to be a Chicken Little. I mean, this is absolutely positively real and possible today.
Yeah, didn't Ukraine had that, right?
Ukraine was only for, you know, hours. Only hours. I'm talking months.
Oh, okay.
We don't have an economy if we lose power for months. We don't have an economy if we lose power for weeks. You know, that's the issue here. And like I say, this is not Chicken Little. It's not hypothetical. It's real. I'm actually giving a presentation tomorrow to the Silicon Valley chapter of ISACA. Do you know who ISACA is?
Yeah, I'm familiar with that.
Okay. Well, that's the IT auditors.
Right.
So I'm going to be this black sheep going into this IT meeting. And one of the things I did is I wrote a micro learning module for the International Society of Automation, ISA. And the title was, and realize this is only a couple months ago, Identifying Control System Cyber Incident. Now, isn't that something to have just done that after 25 years?
Mm-hmm.
There's been more than 17 million control system cyber incidents to date that have killed more than 32,000 people. And you're not aware of almost any of them.
Yep.
Because guess what? They weren't internet protocol attacks.
Okay.
This is what I'm giving tomorrow, you know, to the local ISACA chapter. You know, how do you have any kind of cybersecurity program if you can't even identify an incident as being cyber related?
Right. So you had senior management as like
the first thing is they have to understand that this is existential to their operation. Because guess what? If the control systems don't work, you don't make anything. You're out of business.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Only who's in the room? The CISO. The CISO doesn't own a single piece of equipment. Who's not in the room? The vice president of operations.
Yep.
The board doesn't think there is a problem here. You know, the problem is the networks, and the CISO's there taking care of it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, until they understand, no, they're not. Nothing below them is going to change. And particularly, as long as the CISO is the one responsible for cyber securing control systems, we're pretty much dead on arrival.
Right.
We have the tail wagging the dog. You know, it's the point being, or think of it this way. How would you feel if you're going in for a heart bypass operation? And who's going to do the operation? The IT organization, because they've networked the operating room.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we are today. The doctor's not in charge of it. IT is. Kind of nuts, isn't it?
Yeah. No, absolutely. So is that, so would you consider that then like the main problem that needs to be addressed is just getting senior management?
If you don't address, if senior management doesn't get it, and that goes all the way up through our government, including CISA, you know, you name it.
Mm-hmm.
Until they realize the grid, the electric grid, was one of the engineering marvels of the 20th century. The electric network was certainly not one of the engineering marvels of the 20th century.
Mm-hmm.
Only who's working on it? Not the engineers who built this marvel. These IT people who don't know what a remote terminal unit is. That's crazy.
Yep.
You know, and that's why I'm saying that the attackers, the offensive cyber people, realize if they wanted, you know, what, you know, they have something they want to attack and damage. And they will use anything they need to do that. The defenders, on the other hand, basically say, we are going to defend the following, which is what they know, those IT net, Internet Protocol Network. And if it's not part of that, then guess what? It's out of scope.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you love to go to all of the hackers and say, hey, you can't go there because that's out of scope. We're not looking. That is exactly what the electric industry has done. To quote unquote protect our electric grids to this day.
Yeah. So
not so know, not, go ahead.
Well, I was just saying, so what do you see as the future of control systems then?
Well, unless we get, you know, it's been 25 years and we haven't got it right. The technologies keep being developed for both cybersecurity and for control systems. They're both very, very neat. They really are. It's just they're not tied to each other. Don't you think that the people making the newest cybersecurity technology ought to figure out if what they're doing can actually harm us?
Mm-hmm.
They're not asking. Meanwhile, the engineers building the latest gizmos are saying, hey, I want this to be as open as I possibly can.
Right.
Because it's most efficient. You know, is anybody asking the cyber community, hey, wait a minute, have you thought about, no, have you ever been, do you go to the RSA conference?
I have not been to that one. I know about it. I know which one you're talking about, though.
I mean, you got 30,000-40,000 people, and it's 100% about the network.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that simple.
Yep. Yeah, to me, this is more of a, it's almost like a development, I don't want to say application security, but it's, you know, taking into consideration security when you're building out, creating these devices or these controls.
And, you know, again, I go back to the people doing this, the engineers, never had a requirement to learn anything about cyber.
Yep.
Meanwhile, the cyber people never had any requirement to understand how systems work.
Yep.
And most of all, the cyber people do not understand the actual technical limitation of the devices and the processors and everything else that are used in these devices.
Yeah.
We simply have no technical capability to incorporate these cybersecurity technologies, period.
Yeah. So what resources would you recommend for someone that would want to get more, a better understanding of control systems?
Well, I can say I wrote a book. called Protecting Industrial Control Systems from Electronic Threats. I could say, you know, look at my blog site. I'd like to give a lot more. There is not today a lot of good technical information that deals with control system cybersecurity. There is a lot that deals with OT cybersecurity, but that's not the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, SANS has got all kinds of stuff, but they're not addressing what I'm talking about.
Right.
You know,
yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to say my background's in the Navy, and I was an electronics technician. So mm-hmm. one of the things they taught us was essentially at the circuit board layer, right?
Yes.
Around how electricity moves, and when exactly. we had to learn about how electricity works.
Yeah, right? And that's what I'm saying. That's exactly. I'm sitting here, quote unquote, at the circuit board. This is what we need more cyber people to understand.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah, I totally get that. What I guess what are some closing thoughts that you have?
Number one, thank you for reaching out. We desperately need to get the various, you know, disciplines together and get them to understand where each of them really are
mm-hmm.
and how each can help the other. That's not happening. We've got to get, like I say, management, not just in companies, but in the government. To understand, I was being, you know, chastised 25 years ago. Stop talking about awareness and do things. 25 mm-hmm. years later, people are still oblivious.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm working with some small companies that can do some really neat things, but it's not trying to solve an IT problem. And that's what, unfortunately, both IT and OT cybersecurity has become.
Mm-hmm.
I hope this gives you a little bit different take.
Yeah, no, I think this is great. I think I totally get what you're saying about really, because that's what I've seen even in my time. You've been in a lot longer than I have, but even you know, I started my IT career 20 years ago, as I said, over 20 years ago in the Navy working on, you know, and it wasn't just IT systems, it was phone systems, it was you know, as I mentioned, doing a lot of that stuff. So and I think a lot of that's lost when you're talking about colleges that just offer up a cybersecurity degree, because you're not really understanding the inner workings. And there's multiple layers there, right? There's that network layer that you said a lot of people, and they're focusing on that, but there is an entirely different layer down below all of that about like how actual systems work, because it's all just electricity, right? It's ones and zeros too, as far as like a programming language goes, and really understanding that is even during my time coming up, a lot of people didn't fully understand that. So that's where I've had my advantage. But that's where, you know, we kind of need to get that. Those are basics. Those are some basic stuff. And if you don't know the basics, how are you going to be able to provide actionable security guidance?
Now, for what it's worth, I'll leave you with this. We've actually had IT harm control system by trying to force IT technology or IT policies or IT, you know, you name it, on systems that simply can't handle it.
Yep.
And that's why, you know, it'd be great to say, here's all of this technology, go use it. But our first thing is just this basic understanding.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, I hope this has helped you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Joe, I really appreciate you joining me.
You know, like I say, if people are interested, the blog site is www.controlglobal.com/unfettered. And, you know, I'm an independent consultant. I would be very happy to help you or your listeners. And I'd say my company, but me, is Applied Control Solutions.
Okay. Yeah, we'll put those in the show notes too, so people can go there and check them out.
Much.
And that will do it. Hopefully you learned something. If you didn't, email me at timothy.dblock@explorsec.com or reach out to me on LinkedIn. Show notes can be found at explorsec.com/EIS. If you enjoyed the show, share it with others and rate it on your favorite podcast platform. You can fill out the contact form at explorsec.com/contact. You can sign up for the newsletter and subscribe to the RSS feed to stay up to date with the latest new content on explorsec.com. We'll see you next time, security explorers.